There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on a Thursday, Friday Eve edition of the show. Lots of stuff on today's show. Lots of guests as well. And, of course, you're a big part of the show. And you can hit us up on the text line, the phone line, and the brand-new FM Talk 106.5 app. It's free, waiting for you. At the if you're an Android user, you're an old Luddite like me with your Android. You can go to Google Play if you're a hip young kid that... thinks it's all right for Apple to spy on you. You can go to the App Store with iTunes and get it there as well. Just search for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. I don't know why it messes it up, but it does. And when you see our logo there, just download it and enjoy. All right, we'll talk more about that coming up. All right, continue our coverage of what's happening here in less than 2 weeks. And, of course, that is the municipal elections for the city of Mobile. And we've been talking about this a long time. The city council... people running for office is, I don't, and I know I've talked to some older people now, it's not just me, I have never seen this many people vying for city council in the city of Mobile. And also, on the mayoral side, on the top job, five in the mix as well. And we continue our series of getting to know the candidates and talking to them about why they should, you should give them your vote coming up on the 24th. And joining us now, running for mayor of the city of Mobile, Judge Carlos Findley. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for the invitation.
It's good to have this conversation here as people are, you know, there's some of us, and obviously the people running, y'all been engaged in this for a long time. Those of us that kind of do this for a living, been watching it for a long time, but there's probably people inside the city of Mobile that maybe late last week went, oh yeah, we got elections coming up on the 24th.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
They're like, oh yeah, that's coming up. So let's talk to folks. You're running for mayor of Mobile. Let me ask you the very cliched question, but one that probably is cliched because it's useful. Why do you want the job?
Because I'm the best candidate for the position at this time. You know, our city's suffering in several areas. You know, we've done polls, and of course, you don't have to do a poll to know what the current violent crime issue is in the city of Mobile, but there's also affordable housing that's lacking. And of course, we've got to get back on the track economically from this COVID-19 virus, which just seems to be the thing that doesn't want to go away.
Yeah, as we and how many different variants do we deal with down the road? That's why, I don't know that it's in our rearview mirror at all. It may be more in front of us. Let's talk about that for a second and the economic suffering of the epidemic and the shutdown and all that went on. The city council this week passed $58.2 million in CARES Act money to be used, or not CARES Act money, Recovery Act money to be used through the city. What was your take on the way that was, the kind of the buckets of money and how that was distributed?
Well, it's the American Rescue Plan,
right.
So it's not necessarily recovery, and it's certainly not investment. But it is the American Rescue Plan, and there are specific instructions relative to that initiative that was signed into law by President Joe Biden. And so, I think coming out of the gate, there was really not a great understanding by either the council nor the mayor as to what those parameters may have been and how they were supposed to apply to it. Because if you recall, the first plan that the administration put before the council had specifics in it. Then once people began to chime in and other organizations went out into the community and found out what the people wanted, they then presented an initiative with specifics in it. Then the mayor revised his initiative so that it was very general. And the council then had to speak to people on city council meeting this week to tell them that this is very general. There is no spending of money that we are providing today. What we're doing is applying to get the money. And so it seems as if maybe none of the leadership was really aware of what the purposes of the American Rescue Plan was.
What about the specific, I'll say this, and yes, we talked yesterday about the generalizations, but specifically something that stands out, the bonuses, right, for city employees, $5,000, I think, for full-time, $2,500 for part-time. That one, do you agree with that move?
I agree with bonuses. I think that we need to take a deeper dive, though, in being more specific, because, quite frankly, I'm a judge for the city of Mobile, and I don't think that I, as a judge, working part-time, making $50,000 a year, should have a bonus. I think that we need to look at specific occupations, whether or not people were essential, whether or not they were on the front lines, and we should determine it from that perspective. If you're making over $100,000 a year as a full-time employee, I really don't think that you should be receiving a bonus.
Let's talk about public safety that you mentioned at the beginning of there. That's, we don't go through one show here that we're not talking about, public safety issues. And it seems like, it doesn't seem like it, it's weekly that there's some story that makes you it makes your heart break, the way crimes affect. And even, as a judge, you see this, the good people affected by the bad guys out there as well. What do you do to change this? If you're going to be mayor of Mobile and you say, safety is one of your three tenets of your campaign, what do you do that we're not doing now?
You show people that you care and that they have hope. Because at the foundation of these homicides, of which we have 33 this year to date, last year we had 23 year to date, that's too many.
Yep.
You've got 136 robberies this year where we had 90 last year, and 142 assaults year-to-date where we had 73 last year. These are systemic issues coming from the fact that people don't have hope, and quite frankly, they've not been shown that anyone cares. And so oftentimes we've got young people who don't care about anyone else. Very selfish thing. But you've got to peel back the layers on this thing, Sean. And so you've got to look back to the beginning of this administration. Yes, the city was in financial straits, but the entire country was in financial straits. And many will say today, well, the entire country is having, a violent crime outbreak. But no president in the entire country or senator said that we'd be the safest and most business-friendly city by 2020. So you've got to run on your record. But getting back to the solution, you see, when we cut all of those nonprofits who take care of our children, who teach conflict resolution, because let's face it, some parents aren't going to do the right thing. We've got to stand in the gap, and we've got to show these children that someone cares. So a child in 2013 who was 12, 13 years old is now 20 and 21. And they've had 7.5 years of not being shown that anyone gives a rip about them. And so they're out there in their mind doing what they've got to do to get what they've got to get. It's very unfortunate. I'm certainly not making excuses for that attitude. I'm just giving you the foundational reason.
But how do you I worry about the nation at large, too, but I worry about my home, right, first. And I worry about Mobile. And how do you how do you reset that? I mean, that's a tall task. I mean, how do you get everybody in one room and say, hey, people care about you. You're part of the community. Let's change this.
So for the younger children, we must adequately fund those nonprofits that were standing in the gap. For the 20 and 21-year-olds that we have now, we've got to have police officers living in our community, Sean. We can't have folks who live in Baldwin County, who live in Sims, who live in Stairland, coming into these communities and not knowing the people who were there. As a child, I had a police officer that lived around the corner from me. I played jacks with his girls. I had a police officer who lived up the street from me. I played football with his boys. But the important thing was that they knew the community and the community knew them. We don't have that today. That's something that we've got to recreate in our communities today. And I've got a specific idea around doing that. And it mirrors, of course, you know that I'm a veteran. What happens when a service person comes out of boot camp? The first housing that you receive is government housing. And sometimes that housing is not on base. It's actually out into communities because the military wants to ensure that the community is a part of that service leg and that service leg supports the community and vice versa. So we've got blighted properties all over everywhere. We've got financing in the city now because of CIP and other reasons. So let's invest in some of these properties in these communities where these violent crimes are prevalent. If you break those numbers down, you're going to see that districts 1, 2, and 3 are the highest areas of violent crime. That's where the most homicides occur. They also happen to be the areas where there's the most blight in our community. So let's get some of these houses. Let's refurbish some of these houses, and let's put our newly graduated academy officers into these homes. If we've got single officers, then they get to be roommates. If we've got a family of officers, well, then they get a house. Two officers would get houses in the same community. Everybody's on different shifts, so there's always someone present. But most importantly, the people of these communities interact with these people, and they see them when, other than when there's something bad occurring. So they see them when they're cutting their grass. They see them when they're washing the cars. They're playing with their children. These are the kinds of things that are going to alleviate this violence that's in our community. Because let's be clear, we cannot arrest, nor can we police our way out of these situations.
Yeah,
We've got to think with vision for the future. We've got to be creative, and it's time to change.
Yeah, talking to Public Safety Director Batiste and him saying that same thing. You can't arrest your way out of it, can't police your way out of it. But he also at the same time says, I'm having a heck of a time of recruiting. So, I mean, do you see this as a recruiting tool for Mobile to get, you know, the officers to come in that want to do this? I mean, that we got to have new officers, got to have more people.
Not only do I see it as a recruiting tool, but I see it as a tool that will keep our officers being a part of the force. You know, Sean, we've got a great academy here in Mobile, and we're training police officers and law enforcement for all of the other police departments and sheriff's offices in the community. So we're getting officers coming in, and we're losing them in 3 to 5 years to other municipalities, other sheriff's departments, and that's including Baldwin and Mobile. And so we've got to retain these officers. And that tells me that there's a systemic issue inside of our public safety department that we've got to take a look at. And we're going to be really eager to start peeling back some of those layers to find out what's going on with leadership.
If you're just joining us, talking to Judge Carlos Finley, candidate for mayor of the city of Mobile. You've also talked about increasing the minimum wage. Is that for inside the city, changing that rate?
By all means, we have got to raise the pay on our city employees. We've got to hire more public works department employees. These people are underpaid and they're overworked because we're understaffed. We've got to make these changes. And we've got the funds to do that at this time. And I would submit to you that when we are providing these kinds of services to our city, then more businesses are going to come into our city, which is going to increase the sales taxes that we receive, which is, quite frankly, the foundation of our tax base. You know, 2,800 people moved out of Mobile County last year, higher than any other county in the state of Alabama. And many of those people were in the city of Mobile. If we can improve services through our public works departments, through our public safety departments, I would present that we're going to encourage people to move into the city of Mobile. And that's what's going to change our city to a place where people want to live, as opposed to a place where people are currently wanting to leave in droves.
Right. See, the challenges on the minimum wage, you know, with the state angle, and also you talk about decriminalizing marijuana. Can that be done just for the municipality without the state? Is that something you're for, first of all, and then how does that work through the legislative system?
So I am certainly for decriminalizing marijuana because I'm on the front lines, as you know, as a judge in municipal court. I'm seeing it. I'm the first judge that anyone arrested sees at a bond hearing. Let me say this. Most of the city attorneys and district attorneys in this city will oftentimes plea down a marijuana charge to a paraphernalia charge because they know that a second marijuana charge after a conviction of a first, regardless of the amount in the possession, is automatically a felony. And judges sign off on that routinely. So what we're doing is we're wasting resources and we're creating this revolving door because the reality of the situation is 46 states in this country have legalized or decriminalized in some way, shape, or form the use of marijuana. We're not going to stop that. We're not. It's like alcohol was in the 30s. And so we're being realistic. We've got to know that that's something that's going to change. The better we're able to harness it, the better position we're going to be in. And hey, let's be clear. This is Alabama, the Black Belt, the best dirt in the world, potentially. So let's look at cash crops and how we can supply other states even with the product that oftentimes they're running out of. Now, that takes some federal action, and I'm glad you spoke to specifically how we go about doing this. We've got to partner from local city municipal government to county, state, as well as federal governments and representatives to ensure that these laws are jiving with one another so that ordinances and state laws and federal laws are on the same page, because if we don't do that, we're going to create conundrums amongst all of those levels of government. As an attorney, a former assistant district attorney, as well as a civil attorney, understanding both sides of the law, I'm uniquely qualified to advance these initiatives.
People want to get more information about you, your platform, and what they need to know between now and the 24th. Where do they go?
You go to FinleyForMayor2021.com. That's FinleyForMayor2021.com. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Facebook and Instagram are FinleyForMayor2021. Twitter has a little different hit because of the restrictions. It is FinleyForMayor21. So that's at Finley, #4, Mayor 21.
Thank you for the info, and thanks for being on with us.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Look forward to speaking with you in the future. And hopefully we can get our mayor to show up at some of these forums or debates. He's missed 6 out of 7. That's not good for our city.
There he is, Judge Carlos Finley, candidate for mayor of Mobile, right here on Midday Mobile. We'll be right back.